I'm adding to this feast of the Ascension the readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter. I'm just going to devote a few minutes to it. So this is part five of this session, which is different than all the others because most dioceses, I think, will celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, and we just finished doing that. But some dioceses will do the seventh Sunday of Easter, and they've already done Ascension Thursday. So just a few words about these texts. The first text on this seventh Sunday of Easter is from Acts 1, 12 to 14. After Jesus had been taken up to heaven, the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away, not even quite a Sabbath day. When they entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and James and John and everybody, and they devoted themselves with one accord in prayer, together with some women, and Mary, mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Now this text is to show you how you wait for the Holy Spirit. You have to be united. If you're all fighting, forget it. You know, whether it be a parish, a home, a family, whatever, all united. And Our Lady is among you. You see what it just said? Devoted themselves with one accord to prayer, together with some women, holy women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so, this text is teaching us how you get ready for Pentecost. As I say, in the parishes where, the diocese where this is being observed, you've already had the Feast of the Ascension. And I hope whatever I said there helps. Now, after that, we have this psalm, which is Psalm 27, which is a beautiful psalm. The antiphon is, I believe I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, where is the land of the living? Tell me. The church. Then, that's brought to perfection in heaven. The land of the living is in heaven. But it starts with the land of the living here. It suffices to walk into a group of really believing Christians who know the Lord by experience, and you're lifted, and you know you're in the land of the living. I believe I shall see the Lord and the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. Now the psalm goes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See how important that is? Now, if things get tough, maybe we got to go to jail or whatever, we'll be frightened, of course. But the Lord will say, don't. You see, I am with you. You see, I am your life's refuge, which is the next line in the psalm. Of whom should I be afraid? There's a normal fear, right? If we walked out the door and a bear was there, we'd notice, you know? But there's a fear that's paralyzing, and that the Holy Spirit will eliminate in our lives if we stay with him. See? One thing I ask of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze on the loveliness of the Lord. Everybody prays that. So it's possible that even in this life, we can know the loveliness, the beauty of the Lord, and contemplate his temple. What's the temple of God? Jesus, right? Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll build it up to look on Jesus in faith. See him radiant with his wounds, his face shining with love. That's what it's saying, you see? And then, of you my heart speaks, my heart seeks, you see, my heart is seeking for you. All right? Now, I have to move along to the second reading, which is 1 Peter 4, verses 13 to 15. I'm sorry, 16. Beloved, this is a very interesting text. Beloved, rejoice, this translation, to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ. Is that possible? Yes. It wouldn't be here in the Word of God. It wouldn't be in the testimony of the saints. Saint Teresa of Avila said, towards the end of her life, when she was really mature, either let me suffer or let me die. Either let me be just like Jesus or let's get out of here. Now that's big league ball, but it's the same game. We're in this game, you see? Rejoice to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ, so that when His glory is revealed, you may rejoice exultantly. And now you're going to really rejoice, because you're caught up in the whole life of the Trinity with all these billions of people. Forever. You'll never run out of friends. We're there and we're suffused. The life of the Trinity is the very power, the life that keeps us alive, body and soul. John Paul II has beautiful lines on this in his Theology of the Body. How our subjectivity is compenetrated by the subjectivity, if I can speak that way, of the Trinity. And we're kept alive forever by this infinite, joyful life. It's unimaginable, you see? But let no one among you be made to suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or an intriguer. If you go to jail for being a crook, well, you go to jail. Now, it's happened to many a crook in jail, suffering. They had a turnaround. In this Magnificat booklet we have, we even have writings from one of those prisoners who was so turned around, he's teaching the rest of us. Isn't that beautiful? I know a prisoner like that too. You see? But whoever is made to suffer as a Christian should not be ashamed, but glorify God because of Hashem, because of the name, the expression of who God is. Be encouraged, okay? Now, we're going to spend a few minutes on the gospel. This is John 17, 1 to 11. That's Jesus' prayer, because in this, you see, we're celebrating this Sunday between the Ascension and Pentecost, and so we listen. My friends, I am convinced that this is the prayer that Jesus is still saying in the very depth of the church. This is what He prays, and this prayer, this text, allows us to get in step with Him. You see? This is the prayer He says. There are other things He does there. He's fixed in the act of love in which He died. As we saw when Paul is talking about divisions in the church at Philippi, he says, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. Although He was in the form of God, didn't consider being equal to God, something to be clung to, and it goes through His whole passion. And therefore God exalted Him. Jesus is fixed in the act of love in which He died, which is a fire, but it's a fire that's lit through the sufferings of Christ. This is what is happening here, I think, as well. Jesus raised His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to Your Son, so that Your Son may glorify You. What does that mean? How does the Father give glory to the Son? He manifests the Son's divine life. All through His life, our Lord was saying, the works I do, the Father is doing in me, so that when you see these works, you see not just me, you see the Father. Now, He's taking it a deeper step, you see. Give Him that Your Son may glorify You, just as You gave Him authority over everyone, so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. This is like chapter 6, right? The Father gives everyone to Jesus. Now this is eternal life. That they should know you. You know what that means? Know you. Not guess about you, read about you, even in the Word of God. Know you. The one true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. How do we do that? The gift of the Spirit. Remember, we just saw how 1 John 5:6, the coming one is Jesus, and the testifying word is the Spirit. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory I had with you before the world began. Pull my whole humanity into that divine glory forever. He's radiant with divine glory. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. What's his name? What name did he reveal to them? Father. That's the precious thing. We can say Abba to God Almighty. And I promise you, there can come a time in your life when the Father shows himself to you. And you are filled with such joy and such relief. Because now, the one who is at the source, the basis, ultimate of all reality, the Father, is all love. Isn't that beautiful? That's Jesus' work. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And now they know that everything you gave me is from you. This is the mature apostles, okay? Because the words you gave to me, I have given to them. That's how they know. Once we understand the words of Jesus, we know they're from the Father, so we know the glory of the Father and of Jesus. And they have believed you sent me. And now I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them. How glorified? A real believer. Radiant, peaceful, joyful, able to endure suffering. Isn't that a testimony of Jesus? How many people were converted as they watched the Christians die in the Colosseum? Because they said that, see? Now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. And so now you see, now you see, this bifurcation. The world, that's us. And heaven, that's the Trinity. So where are we? We're in both. That's what faith is, right? We're in both. But there will come a time when body and soul, we will be there forever. That's the promise. And that's why we sanctify ourselves. We obey the Lord. He says, you know, I give you these commandments so that you can have life and joy and have it to the full. And so that's the gospel for this seventh Sunday between Ascension and Pentecost. Amen.